Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain.
I thought I'd call you. I hope you're not sick. I'm checking out. Goodbye. Nice to have known you. You were my big kid. I'm checking out. Goodbye.
True, I've been seen with someone new. But does that mean that I'm untrue when we're apart? The words in my heart reveal how I feel about you. Do nothing till you hear from me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Behind the Curtain. And I feel like with that music, you feel like I just dropped you into the middle of some relationship spat that's going on. I suppose I did do that. But I also dropped you into one of the great songs of so many of the show going on right now at Porchlight Theater. Sophisticated Ladies, just a tribute to the classic music of Duke Ellington. And if you love jazz and you love big band and you love Duke Ellington, this is the show for you, playing through March 6th over at the Ruth Page Center for the Arts. Joining me, I'm going to start with the woman whose voice you just heard in that number called I'm Checking Out, Donica Lynn. She plays the Chanteuse. Donica, you just do such a great number in that song.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, and so good to talk to you again. We talked with when you did Dream Girls at Porchlight. You played Effie. This is like, you've also done some other Duke Ellington music. So, I mean, this is kind of right up your alley here.
It is. I love jazz. I think it's sort of a basis for a lot of music that we get a chance to sing in our lives. You know, I think it's a springboard for a lot of what we sing from. You know, we sing from our pain. We sing from our love. We sing from the things that we know and love, and it's storytelling. And Duke wrote really wonderful storytelling music, and that's what this piece is that we're doing Sophisticated Ladies.
And the whole show is so amazing. John Marshall Jr. also is joining us. He plays the hipster. And, you know, John, I wanted you a part of the interview because I've just seen you in so much of the work you've done, and I just love watching you on stage, because even when you're out of the action over on the side, you are still in the action. So talk to me a little bit about the role of the hipster and how anytime you're on stage, you are paying attention to what's going on.
Oh, thanks. Well, it started kind of with conversations with Brenda about how to bring this character who's traditionally done by guys who have like great clowning technique and really huge physical comedy, and how we could bring that kind of character down to earth and let him live in the world of this club with all these other people. So for me, it's just a matter of keeping him grounded, and the best way to do that is by staying involved in everything that's going on stage, and all the other characters interact with me throughout, and we've given each other permission to do that, so it happened very naturally, and that's how it keeps going so far.
And it plays so well. Also joining us, the music director and conductor, Jermaine Hill. Jermaine, this has to be kind of a dream to actually conduct Duke Ellington music for a couple of hours. Some of the greatest music of all time.
Yes, it is. And thank you, by the way, for playing that clip of checking out Kumbai. I actually haven't been able to hear the show because I've been up there playing and conducting. So that was a real treat. You guys sound great, Donica and Lorenzo.
How about that?
No, it really is a dream. It was slightly daunting, you know, because Duke Ellington is such an icon, and his music is so iconic and brilliantly composed. But once we got, you know, through casting and got to our first couple of days of rehearsal with our singers and with our ensemble, it became really, really clear that it was going to be a really wonderful celebration, not only of Duke Ellington and his music, but of these brilliant Chicago artists that are on our stage, both in our ensemble and in our orchestra, and celebrating their virtuosity and their graciousness as performers. It's really been a joy, and I know it's going to continue to be so as we continue to explore and perform this material.
I'm going to make you all jealous for a moment, because I bet I'm the only one of the four of us who has met Duke Ellington. Am I right about that?
Really?
So
wow, yes.
I'll just tell you. So I was a little kid, and there was Old Orchard Shopping Center up in Skokie, which is where I grew up. And on Monday nights they had this concert series. Louis Armstrong, Frank Sinatra Jr., unbelievable names, and Duke Ellington played there one night. And before the concert, I was in the store. He was in a men's store, and he was like shopping around for clothes. Now I was just a little kid, so I didn't know what to say to him. So I pushed my friend into him to say hi, and Duke Ellington looked at us and grunted. Which I think was his way of saying, kid, you're going to make it someday, and I hope one day you'll be talking about my shows. I don't know. Maybe that's what I think he was thinking.
Okay, here's one for you, Paul. Okay. I met Mercedes. I performed Queenie Pie, the one opera Duke wrote.
Right.
And I met Mercedes when I performed Queenie Pie.
I love it. See? We had these moments. Which puts pressure on you, John, to one day let us know, you know, when you come across, you know, perform in front of the great. You probably have. Have you done that, John?
In front of one of the greats? No, I haven't yet. I'm ready, though.
All right. It'll happen. Hey, Donica, talk about, for folks that don't know Sophisticated Ladies, I've mentioned it to a few people who, I mean, I saw it on Broadway many years ago. But folks who aren't familiar with it, it is a tribute to Ellington. But, you know, it's as though there's this kind of plot. I mean, these characters, there isn't a plot to the show itself, but yet there is story being told.
There is. However, there's no real thematicism other than they're at this club, and essentially it's a floor show for the people who come to see this show at what could be the Cotton Club or what could be any club in any city, right? But Duke, of course, played at the Cotton Club. And each story for us is in and of itself each song. And as you said, every person in the show has their name or has a title. And to make it, as John said, you know, grounded and real, each song is a story within itself. And our characters sort of interact with one another as those stories go on with those songs.
And I love the way some of you guys, Lorenzo D'Onterio, the way you play with the audience. I mean, you do break that fourth wall from time to time. Maybe that's the Cotton Club sense of it.
Yeah, because it's specifically a show for you all. You know, it's for the people. So because it's not one of these shows where we're singing, you know, and it's something where you're sort of peering in and leering in, it's specifically for you all. So it's okay to talk to you. It's okay to sing for you. It's okay to dance and interact with the audience because it's specifically meant for you. And Jermaine, as our music director, sort of gave us license to do that. And Flo and Brenda, our directors and choreographers, gave us license to take that liberty, not too far, but just far enough to make you all feel as involved with the show as you did when you came to see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I have seen the show, and I just, you know, people on their feet at the end, you just get the place. I actually remember there being more energy in this version than even in previous Broadway productions I've seen. Maybe I just have bad memory about that, but I just, you know, it's just electric on stage. And John, I mean, you are a trained dancer. Is this, mm-hmm. when you think back to your training, I've seen you, you know, dance in a variety of ways. Talk about the style of dance in this show, the swing aspect to it, the jazz aspect, and is this one of the more fun, the tap that goes on throughout this show? Is this sort of what being a dancer is all about?
It is, I think, in a lot of ways, but I get kind of a unique dance journey in this show just because I am living in a different physical space, kind of in this, you could, like, maybe even Gene Kelly physicality for a little bit of the show, and you don't see a lot of that from the rest of the dancers.
Because you get to dance with a broom. Sometimes...
Right, exactly. I get to jump in and do some of the other, like, choreo that you might see on the floor if people were improvising at the actual Cotton Club, which is a lot of fun. And it's all about finding movement that would have been organic at the time, and that is certainly the stuff that's the most fun to do. It's absolutely thrilling to have a Gene Kelly moment, but those moments where it just feels like everyone's dancing together and throwing each other from partner to partner is what is the most thrilling part.
And when I talked about everybody being in the moment, I just noticed again when the ensemble is sort of on stage playing the sophisticated ladies or the sophisticated gentlemen, as they're called in the script, there's just always connection between everybody. I mean, it's you know, everybody always seems to be coupled. Everybody always seems to be acknowledging it's not just you. You are performing with all these people. And I just loved, I found my eyes just kind of wandering to everybody across the stage because everybody has their moment. Everybody's just part of the action. Jermaine, in terms of the music, you know, when I think back to Duke Ellington, I mean, he wasn't the, you know, it wasn't the Glenn Miller kind of big band, loud music kind of a thing. But I do want to ask you, it seems as though for me, the music, which is great, you got the trumpet, you got the sax, you got all this stuff going on. But it also seems almost a touch, this may not be the right word, but muted, because it's very important that the sounds, the voices not get overpowered by that orchestra or band.
Yeah, that's true. The musical Sophisticated Ladies, in its original conception, I believe, was written for 13 instrumentalists. And when we talked about, you know, producing it at Ruth Page, obviously 13 instrumentalists would have been quite overpowering. So a lot of the pre-production work that I did was scaling that orchestration down to 7, which sort of felt right to me because that's about the size of Duke Ellington's original band, the Washingtonians. And so, yeah, we did. I did scale back the original orchestration, but I wanted to keep a lot of the texture and the fullness of it without it becoming overwhelming. Because, yes, as you say, the lyrics and the text and the voices are so important to make sure that they ride above the instrumentation. But I still wanted to keep as much of that fuller orchestration that Duke Ellington was so known for. I wanted to keep as much of the elements of that as I could.
And Jermaine, I'll stick with you on this one. Flo Walker-Harris, who is the choreographer of the show, she's on a plane. She may be joining us, but if not, I'll ask you this question, which is this choreography? I don't recall the choreography of original production. So was this standard to the show? Was it created for the show?
It was created by Brenda and Flo.
Oh, okay.
And much of that choreography was really informed by the people in the room. Seeing sort of what their strengths were and what they brought to the table, and again fostering that brilliance that each of the dancers brought into the room and creating based on them. I think that's what makes the show again successful, in that it highlights the strengths of our artists.
So, John, let me flip over to you on that. So did you play with Brenda, with Flo? Was there sort of, okay, John, what works here? That Gene Kelly moment you're talking about, was it their idea? Did you sort of suggest it? How did that come about?
Well, Brenda and I certainly talked about how I would be moving in a different way than maybe some other of the cast in the beginning, at least, before I start dancing with them. And that's kind of the physical character arc there. But, it was the first day of rehearsal when I did my number with them. It was really cool because I went in and they had like a couple little ideas, and then they were like, and you can do the rest. And it was a really freeing experience that, frankly, I had never had before. And by trusting us to bring in ideas that suit us and come from us and that we will do well, it kind of raised the bar and for everybody creatively. And I think that went across the board, that they encouraged everybody to come in with their ideas that were from them. And I think it really shows, and it doesn't look like a show where people are asked to do movement that isn't coming from within them.
And Donica, the same kind of dance pressure isn't put on you or Lorenzo. You guys dance, of course, but you play different roles. And I'm sort of curious, even though, as you said earlier, there's no sort of overarching story to this musical, but we do get to know your characters some. I'm sort of curious, how much thought in terms of your own preparation did you talk to Brenda? I mean, who did you talk to sort of say, who is this Chanteuse? What is her background? What is this deal with Lorenzo's character? What history do we have here? Or does that not matter because it's all about the music?
It actually did matter. And I actually talked with Jermaine during my time with him when I was learning my music. And I talked with Flo as my director, because clearly I've worked with Brenda before, but I talked with Flo quite a bit. And then specifically the song you played earlier, Goombay, I talked with Brenda about what that story was. Where does it begin? Where does it end? Because the next song that comes out of that, it needed to be propelled based on that song. So the next song, I've Got It Bad, needs to come out of Goombye because it literally starts right after that. So I talked with Flo about that, and I talked with Brenda about that because that's sort of like this mini movie that you get right on top of itself. So I talked with them about that in terms of, in that moment, who is she and who is this Shantou? So clearly she's this club singer who's always been there. And, you know, perhaps, you know, they've dated consistently off and on. He doesn't always come home, but, you know, he messes around, but eventually comes back around. And, you know, anyone who, you know, gets a chance to see the show will kind of sort of see things unfold. But at the end of the day, the realization happens that, oh my God, my friend has been trying to tell me forever that maybe he's not the right guy for you. And you get that towards the end of the show with this duet that I do with Molly. You know, I Got It Bad and Mood Indigo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that conversation happened during, you know, sort of character development, which was, is this story relevant to the earlier story, which was, you know, it don't mean a thing? No, it's only relevant because I'm telling this story right now in this song. So not every song is relevant to every other song, but in that particular moment, once we have that, those two songs or those three songs, those are relevant because, yes, he's always there. I'm always there. Dontario's always there. John is always there. And we're still always those people telling these stories, these songs, the way they're sung. And we're still always these people who know that these things are going to happen. And it's just kind of sort of a little peek into who we are as those characters,
yeah,
without names, but who always are at this club doing the things that we always do.
By the way, John, you spend an awful lot of time at that bar. What is that liquid you're drinking from that bourbon bottle? You're doing a lot of shots.
We do. We hold it together. It was a lot of rehearsal, you know. but it's just tea.
Oh, so disappointing. Yeah. I was gonna, you know, one point there's, I was gonna, that those stairs are right in front of me over there. I could go up and grab a shot myself.
You know what? You should. Next time you should.
You probably would. And you know what? You're a nice guy. You'd probably just pour it for me, wouldn't you?
I absolutely would.
Hey, Jermaine, based on what Donica said, it made me wonder. I mean, it would never occur to me that you could play with the structure of a show at all. The show is the show. But through discussion, I guess I have not seen the script of Sophisticated Ladies. Since it is really song after song, do you have the freedom to shift something around or change something based on the interpretation you guys are giving it?
Yeah, I think, you know, certainly within the songs, there's lots of freedom to do that. And that's one of the things that was really fun to explore with the cast. You know, we sort of musically, I would sort of guide them to the structure of the song. And then we would have discussions about, you know, what's happening with this character? Where are some places where we can have some freedom with either rhythm or front phrasing or back phrasing? Or is there some sort of little riff that we can put in here? Can we change the melody slightly to enhance the storytelling? So in that sense, even, you know, from song to song and performer to performer, there was lots of freedom. Obviously, within the scat sections, that's all improvised and inspired by what's happening in the room on the day. And then in terms of the structure of the piece, you know, there really isn't a lot of stage direction at all in the written script, which, again, sort of gave us the freedom to do sort of whatever we wanted to in our version of this story. And at the end of the day, we only ended up cutting, I think, two songs from Act Two that, again, just sort of didn't make sense in the arc that we were trying to tell. It sort of slowed our storytelling down a little bit toward the end of Act Two.
Donica, by the way, is scat something, is that part of your training, or is scat come natural to you, or what?
Scatting has been something that sort of comes naturally, and I don't practice it. I just kind of sort of do what feels right.
Wow.
And if it's wrong, Jermaine will tell me.
Hey, John, could you scat if you had to?
Well, I just got a little.
Oh, okay, that's true. That's true.
Yes, you do.
You do get a little bit of it. That's right. My
a
bad.
Little,
you do.
And Bleep Blip with Molly, which is super fun. And yeah, I mean, I feel I have a lot of fun improvising and stuff like that. But, you know, the nature of the little bit that I do, it's kind of set to specific bartending. So right. It stays pretty similar. But yeah, we had a really fun rehearsal with Jermaine one day where we spent, you know, a couple hours just kind of scatting and improvising and kind of figuring out how it worked again for the storytelling. And it was a lot of fun.
And by the way, Donica, obviously there's certain songs the audience know, depending on age. I mean, I was a little kid when Ellington was doing his thing, actually when he was doing it later in his life. But there's certain songs people just know. And then others, you know, maybe less known that maybe we're listening to for the story. Do you get that sense from the audience at night that when certain songs come on, they're totally with you because they know that song?
Absolutely, yeah. That was something Jermaine and I took the time to talk about, you know, during our work sessions, that these are songs that are very, very well known, and we want to be really true to what people expect to hear. So we want to make certain that when I sing this, we set this way and not become too derivative from what people know. Number one, because we want to honor Duke. Number two, because these are songs that people have been listening to for so very long. So yeah, I get that sense when I sing certain songs, A-Train, when I sing It Don't Mean a Thing, in a sentimental mood, there will be certain times I'll sing that song and I will look out and I will see certain people's faces and they'll just light up because that's a specific song that, you know, it just takes them to a specific place. So yeah, I do. I get that sense when I look out, and because it's that show where you are able to actually interact with the people in front of you, you can see the faces and you can see, you know, their eyes, and I absolutely get that sense. Absolutely.
You know, at the end of the show, I think it was Don Terrio, who's Don, and we kind of made eye contact, and he's sort of like, you know, come on, everybody, get up and come in. The person, friend I was with, sort of said, you know, I think they want you to go up on stage and start dancing. I went, you know, I just might. I did not. I restrained myself, but it's that tempting because the music is just so engaging, and the performances are so great. You just feel like you want to be a part of it. So make sure that idiots like me in the audience don't go up, and it could happen one of these days. A Sophisticated Ladies is playing at Porch Light Music Theater now through March 6th. Jermaine, is that still the date? March 6th? That's it, right?
That's right. We have to post March 6th.
Then so, you better sure get you your get tickets. Yeah, it's at Ruth Page Center for the Arts right on Dearborn. Couldn't be more convenient. Had a little dinner ahead of time at Q Barbecue right up the street. It's a real great place to just, you know, there's so many places to eat around there. It's real easy. There's valet parking. That's easy as well. Tickets are at porchlightmusictheater.org. Theater spelled the proper English way, a T-R-E at the end. Porchlightmusictheater.org. Only till March 6th. I was just so excited to talk to you guys that I wanted you to, that I appreciate your joining me. I know you're going to have a great time with the show. Every time I see a Porch Light show, I always end up having to say it's the, you know, it's better than anything they've done. So I don't know. You just keep raising the bar because, but this is its own special experience. Audiences loving it. I congratulate all of you on just have a great run, break legs, as they say. Donica Lynn, who plays the Chanteuse, and John Marshall Jr., the hipster, Jermaine Hill, music director and conductor, and give our best to Flo Walker-Harris, who got stuck on an airplane. But to all of you guys, thank you so much. We know we're going to go out playing a little Duke Ellington, but it's not Duke's music. It's your music. So here we go. Porch Light Music Theater's version of Sophisticated Ladies. Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's P-A-U-L-L-I-S-N-E-K. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more Insider Scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.